What's going on, everybody? So, I wanted to kind of talk about some things that I've really become aware of as well. And the past hour or so. And it's really interesting because we as a society are really into our technology, and it's really interesting because you either have people who are, well, there are some who are kind of balanced on this, don't get me wrong, but there are a lot of times what I find is that people are often very much on the internet, online all the time, or a lot of the time, or they're telling you not to be on your phone, not to be on the internet. And they say that virtual is, like, not a good thing and this kind of thing. And then, or you have the older generation nowadays who might not be on the internet as much, but they have something else that's similar, which is not in the same way necessarily, but in somewhat of a similar way. Which is television, right? They have the television. We have the internet. It is actually much stronger with the internet because you have more of that interactive capability versus like a television where you just kind of sit there and gaze at the screen. And there's no necessarily interactive part of this unless you're watching a show that you can kind of do certain things along with the person who's engaging you in the show, like, you know, like a painting show, like Bob Ross or whatever. But like most of the time when you're watching television, it's not interactive in this kind of way. You're not really watching it to interact with somebody, right? But when you are online, you have that possibility, that capability, which creates interesting problems and interesting solutions at the same time. Right, does make business easier. You don't have to travel to that business to work with that business. You don't have to travel places to meet people now. You have Zoom calls. You have the ability to micromanage people with Zoom calls and things like this without having to go to the place, to the business, to place of business. And you don't even have to have a place of business anymore, really. It really isn't a whole lot of point to do that is unless you're doing something that requires this. Some do this even though it doesn't necessarily require it because it does kind of still have a bit of a prestige thing to it. Like you have a place of business now, people can send you things, you know, through the mail, through what's like you can call it snail mail or whatever, right? Like the post office or whatever. But really, anymore, you don't really even need to do this. And so it's come with costs and it's come with benefits. The benefits are, like I said, there's easier networking abilities. It's in some ways, I think it's a little bit cheaper to run certain businesses because, like I said, you don't need addresses for everything unless it's, you know, unless you're working at like a meat packing plant or something like this. You don't really need even a place of business, an office, like a traditional brick-and-mortar kind of building. And you have the ability with certain Bitcoin, with certain blockchain coins like Ethereum to exchange money between people from different countries. Like Ethereum, I think is different, better in some ways than Bitcoin because it actually has the ability to do more than Bitcoin does. There's like I remember somebody was saying somebody online that I was watching at one point. I don't really watch them as much anymore, but they were saying that they were able to hire someone from like literally a different country with some kind of Ethereum type Bitcoin situation, where it's built into the system to make contracts for whatever. Some interesting thing about Ethereum. I don't know that much about Ethereum, so those who do, you're going to be like, what the hell are you talking about? This is not right, or whatever, you know. Or you're going to be like, you're completely wrong, you know, whatever it is. So, yeah, don't take my word for it, but it's something that I remember somebody saying about Ethereum. I think it was Ethereum that he was working with. But anyways, and so there's that ability to do this now. In a lot of ways, like, calculating is a lot easier. Whereas before, you needed, like, an actual calculator or an abacus. Now you don't need that. You just have your smartphone. You know, time changing is simpler. You don't really even need to know how to time change if you're even doing this anymore, you know, this kind of thing. You know, there's the ability to learn tons of information. A lot of it is useless information. A lot of that time, because you learn this information, it's not the same as it would normally be because it's not interactive in a lot of ways. And it's not, you're not actually getting practical benefits from the information that you're learning. But that's something that I want to talk about because it's something that somebody brought up and it's something that I've seen myself as well. But I will talk about that in a different episode, I think, coming up in the future. Doing more practical stuff here. So those are some basic benefits. I'm sure there's more. But there are a lot of costs as well. One of the interesting things that I was watching, this video was talking about how when you're normally socializing, like in person, your brain literally needs to have the ability to understand body language and understand different things like this. You know, something that, like, a blind person doesn't have anyways. But, like, if you're sighted, you have the ability to use body language. You have the ability to understand people with more subtle things than just the words that they're using, like tone of voice and stuff like this, right? Versus, like now with the internet, you don't have this ability. You can't see somebody's body language on a Zoom call, necessarily. And so that ability is, you know, because the brain is basically wired to use it or lose it, because we don't need to use that ability of body language, that part of the brain is shrinking, and more people who are using the internet more and more frequently, which is creating more social anxiety and things like this, which is really interesting to understand and contemplate. You know, a lot of people don't, I don't know, there's like this really interesting culture and some spiritual elements or some spiritual circles and people and stuff where they don't really necessarily seem to like to think about like how their brains could be affecting them in some way. But it's very deep. Once you really start to see that this can absolutely be a thing that's happening to you and the people around you, different things, right? There's other elements to the internet as well, like that are doing this. One of the interesting things as well that it was this channel, this, because it wasn't just a video, I was watching different videos on this channel because I was binge watching this channel. If you're interested, it's actually a very helpful channel. It's called Healthy Gamer GG. It's on YouTube. Basically, there's a lot of videos going over a lot of different things, but anyways, one of the things he was talking about was this idea of ADD or ADHD and how, because we have the internet now, we actually are getting shorter and shorter attention spans, right? Because, like, back in the day, we used to have to go to the library for things. This is not quite how he put it. This is how I'm putting it, right? And so it took us longer and longer, a long time to research something. Maybe it took you hours, right? Maybe to read a book, it took you hours. And so you had a better attention span, maybe not enough for hours, but enough to do certain things more than nowadays, right? And so then you had the internet, which started shorting, making shorter and shorter attention spans. You know, because the way you described it, first you had, like, blogging, and then you had video essays, and then you had Vines, and now it's TikToks, and just they just kept getting shorter and shorter and shorter, right? The videos. And so that creates more dopamine for less time. You know, it's really interesting because we'd like to, I know there's a lot of people who like to think that, like, people are accountable to themselves and they're individuals, and that's true, and I like that idea. But there's also the social and collective element as well that we have to take into account when understanding true accountability. But that's a deeper episode. Anyways, and so the point what basically was, yeah, because we have more and more and more that we're aware of, there's a couple of deep problems that are happening because of this, right? Number one is we are getting more external attention, or we have more things that we're focusing on externally, which creates a shorter and shorter attention span. But number two, because we're doing that, that actually keeps us from really understanding ourselves and finding ourselves, which is why people like are engaged in doing retreats and meditation retreats and like going to the Himalayas for 6 months and things like this to find themselves, because you're literally going beyond technology. And so if you're finding yourself on your phone a lot, right, what's really interesting is that you listening to somebody saying, oh, you shouldn't be on your phone as much and this kind of thing, isn't really going to affect you. Maybe you'll do it for a little bit because your mind is just like, oh yeah, let's try something new. But when you start getting bored, boredom is your brain's attempt to get you to focus on something else, to get you to do something about the boredom, or your mind, or whatever you want to call it, right? And so instead of, one of the things I'm really becoming aware of, one of the things I'm doing, which is based on one of the videos that I was watching from this channel, was instead of doing something about the boredom, you basically just sit there and not listen to the boredom and just become aware of the boredom and stuff like this, like in meditation, basically, right? Versus before, what you would do, because you have a shorter attention span and because you're life is based on a lot of dopamine hits and things like this, you would listen to the boredom and you go, oh yeah, I'm bored, so let's do something, let's play a video game, or let's, you know, something that gives a lot of reward for listening to that boredom, basically. And so that creates shorter and shorter attention spans. That was one of the things he was talking about. One of the other things he was talking about in another video that I was watching was how one of the reasons why people have very little purpose anymore is because they are hooked into a lot more external information, right? And so they see people doing things and they go, oh, that sounds like something I should do, you know, this kind of thing, right? It was actually a really interesting idea, like, because one of the things he was talking about was like, if you had no taste or smell, because smell is also a part of taste, we believe it or not, something that people, most people don't realize. But anyways, if you had no smell or taste, what would you eat? You don't taste anything, so it's not like it matters what you eat. And so you might just see somebody eat something, and you'd be like, oh yeah, that sounds good, and then you eat it. You're like, I don't taste anything, what's the point? And then things like this. And so, because we there's a lot more external stimulus going on in our lives, we lose that, because that is happening, we cannot sense the inside of ourselves. And it's like I've said before, right? Imagine attention as like a percentage game, right? The more attention that you put on something, the less you will notice something else. And so the more attention that you have on things that are going on around you, whether that be watching YouTube videos or watching or doing something online, or even just like being busy and doing all kinds of different things, which is fine and dandy. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But the more that you do that, the less you become aware of yourself. And the less you can process the emotions. Because one of the things he was talking about as well, which was really interesting as well, which is that when you are, when you have something happen to you, like emotionally, and then you get emotional, what normally happens is you could basically do two things, right? You could process the emotion in that moment, or you could numb it. Most of the time, what we ends up happening is we numb it, purposely or not, and we focus outwardly on watching cat videos or something like this. And so one of the things that ends up doing over time is it actually makes us more miserable in our lives, more difficult, because we're not processing the emotions. They become unconscious or less conscious, at least. And so they become until your life becomes more difficult because you're not processing these deeper emotions that are now within you, that you just kind of numb by watching cat videos or by doing all these different things that you're doing. And so that is one of the reasons why you have people who may have, we're basically living like kings anymore, right? We have all kinds of food that we can eat. We can all kinds of entertainments that we can watch that we really didn't have long, even like 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And so, in a sense, we live like kings, but because we aren't doing that processing of emotions that we're supposed to be doing, that helps us to go beyond the emotion. It's causing people to become more miserable, more lonely, more unable to deal with themselves. It's really interesting. And so, he was talking about journaling. And one of the things that I really was doing that he was talking about was just not getting on your phone and engaging with things and whatever, right? And just kind of sitting there, letting your thoughts kind of do whatever they do. And whenever your mind gets bored, you just, instead of going, okay, let's do something else, you just sit there with this boredom. And you just notice it. And you just kind of let it happen. Until eventually, what happens is that the boredom just kind of stops. The thoughts themselves can stop as well to a certain extent. Or they slow down. And things like this. And so one of the things I did last night was this. And then I fell asleep. And then I did it again a little bit earlier. And it kind of reminded me of something that I saw on a podcast. Where basically what you do is you you kind of like do the same thing. But you're walking around because you're getting that physical activity. And so what I was doing as well while doing this was kind of walking in place, not really walking anywhere, but just walking around a little bit, maybe circling the room that I'm in or whatever, just kind of walking normally, not really caring necessarily how much exercise I'm getting, but that helps to move blood around in your body as well, and so you're getting all these different things going on. So if you're really finding yourself in these weird moments of like, why is my life so difficult? This is why. Giving yourself the opportunity of processing these deeper emotional responses. It's really interesting. I've never really had many emotional problems, but I still find myself with these exercises actually freer in some ways. And it doesn't mean that I don't use the phone, because I'm obviously using the phone right now. It doesn't mean that I don't do things because I I do. I make myself a cup of tea, and I'm drinking a little bit of it, you know, stuff like this. But when I find myself becoming, you know, what's really interesting too, that I've really become aware of, and I've become aware of this before as well, is that the more that you're on your phone, the more that your mind, it almost seems like you become like more dead inside of yourself, in your mind, and your emotions, and which is what he was talking about, like you're numbing your emotions, consciously or unconsciously. Mostly it seems to be unconscious, but, and so when you're on your phone a lot, or when you're doing a lot of things, sometimes, you know, if you're doing more like social things, or if you're like out and stuff like this, it's a bit different, but I think there's something to be said about, you could be stuck in doing that too much as well, but that has more to do with the external stimuli part of this, rather than having to do with numbing the emotions as much. I mean, that's definitely part of it as well, but the deeper element of this is getting stuck in loving external stimuli and not seeing how that's keeping you from yourself and your own mind, your own body, things like this. Anyways, and so you get on your phone a lot. You get on the internet a lot, not your phone to say, but you like your internet. And that makes you more numb to reality, makes you more numb to yourself. So yeah, it doesn't mean that you do this all the time. It doesn't mean you do this every day or all day. You just do it for like a little bit, an hour, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever. And not having any external stimulus that will distract you from what you're doing, that will numb you from what's going on, things like this. And so if you find yourself, you know, if you're wondering in your life, like, what's going on? Why am I feeling like I'm like, you know, this kind of thing. Try this and just notice what happens. Notice the change once you get beyond the boredom stage. So, anyways, hope you enjoyed this episode. And I'll talk to the next one.